What's up, everybody? How's it going? It is episode number 149 of the Unknown Games Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian, and I'm joined with my co-host of the most, Alex. What's up, bro? How's it going?
Good. It's going good. Good. How are you?
It's good. I mean, it's a nice Monday. It's a good Monday. A little rainy this morning, and then over the weekend was a little bit rainy, a little bit chill, but overall, yeah. Not too bad. Mm. Went to the gym. I know we've been talking about this, or I've been like saying, you know, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to enroll. I finally did a couple weeks ago, and you know, it's been wonderful.
Ripped, you're like ripped now, right?
No, I'm dying on the inside.
You said you wanted to just lose weight. Do you have any like, or like, I want to get a little bit of muscle, or are you just like, I'm just going to lose
yeah,
fat.
Yeah.
That's all I want
to
do.
I just wanted to lose like fat in the gut area and then just put on muscle, just kind of like all around, but be kind of fit and toned. That's it. I don't want like big bulky muscles or anything like that.
You don't
want to
be like super ripped or anything, right?
I don't want to be the short dude walking around that's just like got the gorilla arms going. I'm good, you know.
That'd be so funny. You should do it though.
Yeah. You know, it's been a fun experience. Just being back in the gym again and having some goals there. So that's cool. You know, we've had a lot of cool game releases come out in the past couple of weeks. Plague's Tale, Requiem, Pokemon Scarlet Violet, Sonic Frontiers. I keep calling it Frontiers. That's it. That's right. Okay. There we go.
It is Frontiers, right?
So, yeah, I always want to say Sonic Forces for some reason in my mind.
Well, that is an actual real game. But
It is. It totally is. But yeah, those games have come out and we're playing a good chunk of those. God of War, of course, came out. I think that's the only one we're not playing is God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, because we don't have a PS5.
We don't have a PS5.
We don't have a PS5, yeah. Mm.
Years later, still saying the same. We don't have a PS5. Sorry. So today we'll be doing the video game awards, or the game awards, sorry. We're going to be doing our voting. We did it last year and the year before, so this is our third year actually casting
to, like,
our votes.
Go through it, yeah.
Yeah. We get to find out all the games we didn't play.
So many categories, though. We gotta like go fast through them.
I think this year we're just not. I think we're not gonna do the esports ones,
because I have no idea. Yeah,
we have no clue what those are. So
I don't know what an esport is. Yeah,
it's something else. So I think we'll do the voting first just to get that on out the way, and then we'll come back and deal with Pokemon, because I know you probably have a lot to say about that, and then I've got some stuff to say about Sonic Frontiers, because it's good.
It's good. That's the go on the back of the box, like, you know, what says all the reviews, just like, it's good, period.
Put another one, it's good, just for emphasis, like
yeah, it's good.
I promise you it's good. Go ahead and buy it, you know.
That's so funny. Sega, if you're listening, go ahead and put that in, like,
as a tweet or whatever. Put that down. Put that next to Metacritic score on the box. It's good. And finally, as always, if you're listening via iTunes, Spotify, into those audio services, go ahead, subscribe, like the podcast, you know, in your mind, like it, but leave a review, 5 stars. We hope
tell your mom about it. When you go home and you like talk to your parents, you're like, oh, what have you been up to? It's like, mom, coolest podcast ever.
Get your family hooked. Make it a family event.
Make her listen. Yeah, it's like you're at the Christmas. It's like Christmas dinner. You're just like playing off your phone.
And of course, if you're looking on YouTube right now or Twitch, be sure to leave a follow or subscribe right there. Thumbs up on the video. You know how you do on those separate platforms. So we're going to move on into the show where we got to get these votes in. This is the most, man, forget about the presidential election. This is what I live for right here. This decides what is important in my life. December 8th in Los Angeles. They've got screenings and all that sort of stuff happening around the world.
Is it December 8th?
It is December 8th. It is only...
Is it usually December? For some reason, I feel like it's January sometimes. Or is it actually always December?
It's always like that first weekend in December. It's always around this time period.
Yeah, I totally like just blank. I mean, like at the when it's like the end of any calendar year, I'm just like my mind is just like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm along for the ride. Like I don't.
It's crazy. Like we're at the end of the year, so it's one of those things where, but we are logged in on our account, so let the records know and be shown. This is our third year of voting. We get the view. I don't know. Do you want to view
what? You know what we've always done, by the way? You know what we've always done? We've like voted, but we've never gone back to compare what our vote was versus what actually won.
We should do that. We should do that.
I agree.
That is, you know, that's what we're going to do. So we're just going to start voting. I don't know what categories started. Okay. Game of the year. Okay. Well.
Yeah, it always starts Game of the Year. I'm like, let's start Game of the Year. Leave that for last.
Leave it for last. Oh, wait. Okay, hold up. I think we can do it another way where
you got to go view all categories. You got to scroll to the bottom and you got to go left. Yeah.
You're horrible.
You got to go view all categories. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Okay, so we're starting with most anticipated game then, if that's the case. Most anticipated game. We've got Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
I would like to state that the game has now been nominated twice because last year it was nominated as
the unknown
Breath of the Wild sequel.
Yeah. That's true. That's so true.
Good job, Nintendo, for making it twice. Anyways, well, okay, let's talk about
here's the thing. Our hearts are going one way. The whole award is stacking the other way. The left side of this category versus the right side of this category. But honestly, Hogwarts Legacy.
Are you going to pick that?
That game, I am buying it. I am playing it in February when it comes out. I kid you not. The game looks great. But
I'm not
going to
let you pick it.
I want to pick FF16.
Yeah, okay. Me too. Let's pick a vote.
It was done. Leon, we're sorry. Starfield, I just don't think has enough on it right now still. I think when they showed it last time, earlier this year in the summer, it just wasn't, I mean, I don't think it was doing it for some people.
Okay, Resi 4 is a weird, but I'm not saying Resi 4 is a bad game. I'm not saying it doesn't look great
it's
or at
the most
all
remade
like
Resident Evil, period.
I'm just saying, okay, it's a good game. It's a good franchise. And I'm sure it's going to be a very good remake. But like, I don't know. It's just like, it's a known quantity to some degree. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's some things that they are changing up. But like you said, it's a known quantity because we've had this game remade on VR on the Quest 2, on the Meta Quest 2 earlier this year, in fact.
Unless they pull like a full ass FF7 remake style kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's that far much of a remake, but you know, it's got a lot of stuff going back from RE2 remake and then RE3 and
three remake.
Know.
Yeah, so it kind of it's like a logical progression of game mechanics and stuff, kind of thing. So
exactly.
I'm gonna say 16 because to me that's so much more of an unknown quantity. We have a new director, but this guy's never done an offline mainline, and it's kind of a different style. We kind of came off of a futuristic kind of vibe from 13, 15, right?
Yep, going back to the kind of just
like high fantasy, right?
And he's even said, Yoshida-san said, like, yo, I feel like Japanese RPGs have fallen behind, or maybe Square's RPGs have fallen behind in terms of maybe just action and just being more engaging to consumers. So this one, I feel like this could potentially set kind of the future tone for a lot of Final Fantasies going forward, or it could just be another one-off like 12. You never know, you know.
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, it's not a question. That's a good point. 12 was definitely way more high fantasy, and then they just hit us with 13, right?
Yeah, and then we went the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. I want to, like, is the game going to be mature or is it going to be teen? I thought I heard them say this.
Mature, right?
I thought they said, like, it's going to be a mature game. It's not going to be teen. I think 7 is teen, right?
7, I believe, is teen, yeah. There's nothing crazy going there.
So I think they're doing, they're trying to push it in a little more of a mature direction. I mean, even in the trailer, you can see, like, I think some child gets, like, covered in human blood or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's, like, that implied sex scene, right?
There is.
There's no sex scenes in Final Fantasy, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I don't think there has ever been just like someone waking up next to another person. I mean, of course, just like knowing that something happened before that, you know, but we've never seen that before. It's always
there's never been like an implied like sex scene in Final Fantasy. There's been like kisses and stuff, but those are like super innocent, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much innocent. And I think the way they spin this around is because when they, the last trailer, they introduced all the different kingdoms, and we have kind of like that dark, like, I don't give two F's about anything kingdom. And that's, I think the guy who's from there, that's who actually was waking up next to the girl. So I don't care, bro. I'm going to wake up and do what I'm going to do.
That guy fucks. Yeah, no, that's cool. So I'm curious. I want to know. I just want to know. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at right now. So
yeah. So yeah, we'll vote for FF16, 6-month exclusive on PlayStation. We found that out.
I'm glad, by the way.
Hopefully it means we'll get PC. Well, I believe we'll get PC, but who knows what that means for Xbox? I don't know what that means. I mean, hopefully.
They could shut out Xbox still. I'm not even sure, yeah.
So we voted for that. I mean, Zelda, honestly, I think one of the only games that is releasing in May. So
it is May. You're right. Yeah.
And it's going to clear out whatever it's going to do. I mean, that's a huge release, and it's hard to see that. It's hard to see which one of those categories winning, or not categories, but which one of those games actually pulling out. But all those are great, all great things for next year, if that says anything. Next up is, what is it? Best adaptation.
This is hot.
We got Arcane, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted.
All right, I'm going to be straight with you. I've only seen one of these, so
I think we've only seen Sonic.
I didn't see Sonic.
You didn't see Sonic? Well, really? Which one did you see?
Not Sonic 2. I saw Cyberpunk.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you did play Cyberpunk, and I actually bought Cyberpunk.
You just didn't
after after seeing the Edgerunners content update, and then like after the anime, I didn't watch it because I was like, one of my coworkers was like, "Hey, you know, if you actually like play the game and then watch the anime, you might get some cool like extras in it." You know what I mean?
You'll appreciate the anime like a little more if you play the game before you watch it. So, I guess you didn't watch Cyberpunk. Did you watch Arcane?
I didn't, and I need to. I've been meaning to watch
it. Everyone on the internet just good. Like, Arcane is so good. I'm like, hey, I believe you. Like, I believe you. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's all I've heard, and it's one of those things where the art style, like the art direction works with it, the seriousness of the story, the characters, all that stuff is working together as one, but then, you know, Cyberpunk is like, from what I've seen in the trailers, it's so faithful to the game too, you know?
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's pretty, to the point where, okay, so in the game, when someone calls you, because it's like in the future, it's, 2077, so it's only 50 years in the future, basically, but when someone calls you, the text for their chat shows up, I guess, like in your eye, like in the game, so it's like on your HUD. And they do that in the anime still. So when the main character gets a phone call, it just shows up on his HUD. So I'm watching in Japanese with English subtitles. So when he gets a phone call, there's actually no subtitles because you have to like read it off the screen. So I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool, I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I played Cuphead this year, and that's probably a really fun show. Sonic 2, I watched on the plane. To the US.
Yeah, like on a fucking screen like this.
On
big.
A small little screen, and I gotta say, it was better than the first movie. And it was fun seeing Tails on screen. Like Tails was a blast to have out there, and then of course Knuckles being there. And Jim Carrey doing Eggman just as always is just perfect. It was one of those things where I'm like, man, they are hitting it out the park with this Sonic thing. Like I hope Sonic Frontiers does not bomb because this movie is it's expanding on what Sonic, we know Sonic does, but for a whole new generation that gets into Sonic, they're like, oh, he has this sort of move, or he, you know, all these different things of him as a character growing.
He goes supersonic in the second movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he also goes, I mean, he goes supersonic in every Sonic game, actually, I think, but.
He does. This is hard. I mean, I feel like Arcane wins this. But
I have to say, Arcane 2, just with the massive amount of hype that like it's gathering on the internet, I'm gonna probably Arcane, right?
Arcane is one of those like, oh, this is the Emmy award winning thing. It's like the actual like outside of games, it's been recognized. But I mean, what do you want to pick? What would you want to pick?
I would have to pick Cyberpunk just because it's the only one that I've seen. Also, I kind of like Studio Trigger, right?
Trigger on a leash. That's what I'm calling that right there. Cyberpunk is Trigger on a leash.
Like, it's you like mean when like you have put, to be able to...
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you put Platinum on a leash.
You have to put him on a leash, otherwise you get shit like Darling in the Franxx. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, there you go. That's what I'm saying. You know, you got to get your Nier Automata on.
You've seen Darling in the Franxx, right?
Yes, and
they probably could have ended it like halfway through. It would have been like,
they probably
better.
Should have ended it halfway
probably
through.
Should have ended halfway through. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm one of the people who like Keys and Ivor.
What is that?
I think it's what is it actually? It's Keys and Ivor. I can't.
Is that a Trigger anime?
It's a Trigger anime.
I haven't seen it.
I think it might be the Darling in the Franxx team. Because remember, like A team and B team, there's a C team. The C team did Dinozen. The B team did.
Oh, that was C?
Yeah, yeah. So C is like the youngest team. And then B is like your.
Well, then who did Gridman?
That's also a C team. Yeah.
So they did Gridman and Dinozen?
Yeah, yeah. That was
because it's the same universe, anyways. But yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I guess we'll put it in for Arcane. Put it in for
sure.
Arcane. No, you know what? Let's do our heart and just do Cyberpunk at least.
Okay. Sure.
There's no way I like Sonic, I don't think, but this, you know what? At least Cyberpunk really tied it into the game along with Arcane. I mean, they both did a great job doing that, but it's nice to see that there was content for Cyberpunk that was also like you could be those characters in Cyberpunk too, you know what I mean? Like you could get the Edgerunner content stuff in there.
I would say the biggest weird thing for me with Cyberpunk Edgerunners though is like the anime. Well, it's an anime, right? So it's very stylized and it's a Trigger anime, so it's a very particular feel to it, right?
Very particular, yeah, yeah.
In terms of art direction, I mean. But you go to play Cyberpunk the video game, it's like fucking
it's
Keanu
completely
Reeves
different.
And it's like, yeah, it's completely
it's
different.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think that's probably a good way of saying like, because Arcane, if you go into a Riot game, that's actually the style they use. That's like for their cutscenes or for their media that they put out, you know, they change it up a little bit, but that's pretty spot on to what it looks like. So
yeah, you watch Cyberpunk Edgerunners and you're like, this game is awesome. You go play it and you're like, man, why do I move so slow?
Slowly.
Where the hot anime girls? Like,
where? Why isn't this a platinum game?
Yeah, I know.
Next up is Best Indie Debut. We have Neon White, Norco, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivor. Oh man, your heart's torn.
I actually looked through all of these on my stream like a week ago or something.
Okay.
And so with like chat, we were like looking at all the even the esports one. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. We looked at all of these. So I looked at all these with chat actually. So I had a really hard time picking for on this category because I've actually only played two of these games, which is Stray and Vampire Survivors.
Same here.
And I put in like a buttload of hours in Vampire Survivors, like a
very,
comical
very
amount of hours, mm-hmm. like a mm-hmm. lot of hours of Vampire Survivors. But I gave it to Stray actually.
Really?
Just because, yeah. I mean, Vampire Survivors, don't get me wrong, is a very, very fun game. And the fact that I have like so many hours into it is proof that I legitimately enjoy that game. Yeah, but for like an indie debut, like for an initial showing of like what you are capable of, I think Stray pulled it off really well because it has a really good vibe to it. Art direction looks really good, has a good soundtrack. That cat animates extremely well.
It's all about the cat.
Yeah, it's a lot about the game is really short, but that's totally fine. I'm not saying it's a bad game for being short, but I think as like an initial offering, like, hey, what's up? Like, this is what our studio is up to. Like, this is what we're capable of. Like, that's an impressive first showing from a studio.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we played Stray around the same time. And, you know, while Vampire Survivors isn't the thing for me, just because I'm bad at making builds and that it's just something that I'm bad at doing, you know, it was one of those games that I believe, honestly, for everyone who played it and really got into it, they couldn't put it down. Like people, especially on like Steam Deck or whatever, like could not put this game down. Hours going by just enjoying that time. And it was everywhere. I think it was one of those kind of Twitch booms, like Twitch streams where you found it everywhere. And then Microsoft
everyone streaming it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Added to Game Pass as well. So, it's definitely one of those games where Stray was also everywhere. I mean, people love animals and, it's really hard to say anything other than that they got that cat right. Like, I treated the cat like my pet. Some people treated it like their pet or just like, you know, there's so much things I did right about it. And like you said, though, for a first kind of outing, as a kind of, I guess, a complete package, I think that was maybe the best on this list, though. I have bought Norco. And
okay, so I actually haven't played any of the, like, Neon White, Norco, or Tunic. I actually haven't played them. So I don't know. Like, it's tough for me to be like, oh, because I don't know what they're like. So yeah, did you play any of these? Like, you played Neon White? You played a demo maybe, right?
No, I didn't even play a demo. I know Ed had played it and was kind of excited for it. It's just not like my sort of game. It's a deck builder. It's a twist on the deck builder type formula. Roguelike, okay. Deck builder, speed run. Not dating sim, but like, you know, relationship sim thing.
Sure,
that's
okay.
What that game is. And then Norco is, that's one of those high political games, commentary. It will say high political commentary games. So very, very akin to, fudge, I'm forgetting that one game that is very good too. But anyways, Stray, let's give it on to,
okay.
To
the cat. Stray then, yeah.
I hope it's saving this stuff. I'm like, I'm pressing back each time, but like, does it just go like, oh, you've placed your vote, but it doesn't, it wasn't really. Okay, let me just click and just see. Did it? Okay, it saves. Okay, cool. Okay. Cool. Next one is content creator of the year. Do you want to skip this or do this one?
I got to skip because I don't know who these people are. I think Ludwig is on there. I've only seen Ludwig. I've never like watched him.
I've watched a little bit of Ludwig's streams, but yeah, not enough to be like, you know, oh, this is, I have a say in this one. Best multiplayer, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiversus, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
But interesting that the game is on there, honestly, I gotta say.
Of all of the, I feel like TMNT actually did it like did it, you know? I feel like it's got that 6-player multiplayer mode. It's got a lot of other beat 'em up options in the game, or a lot of options to play the game. I saw a lot of people streaming it and having fun with it. Lots of replayability and everything. I think it's just they did a really good job on it, you know what I mean? But it's kind of hard. Like Multiversus was pretty cool for me. I liked it, even though it's not available in our region.
Is it not? I actually didn't bother to check.
It's technically still in beta, if I remember correctly. Okay. It's still technically in beta, but it's released in US and in other regions. But for a fighting game, doing wonders. But yeah, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, which, I mean, I don't know. What are you thinking on this one?
I want to say Splatoon 3 just because it's the lesser of all the evils.
It's the lesser of all the evils. The biggest
in
Japan.
TMNT is just a weird choice, honestly.
I guess because like all these games are technically multiplayer online, which TMNT is multiplayer online. But I mean, when every time I saw people playing that game was actually couch co-op, which you have to say.
That's the way to do it. Couch co-op is the way you want to play that game because that's like a, you've seen the game, right?
It's like, that's basically
like
what it is.
It's like peak 90s. It's like peak 90s couch
it's
co-op.
It's marketing peak 90s, and they promoted it very well. They did a really good job promoting this game because it was everywhere, at least on Twitch when I was watching, in before and after. So,
yeah, I put it in TGS actually.
Oh, for real?
It was fine. It was.
It's a beat 'em up. I mean, it's a beat 'em up.
It was. I'm like, oh, it was fun, and that was it. And there was time. Like you had just enough time to beat the first boss, basically, and that was it.
Okay.
But what can I say? It's TMT. Like if you played Turtles in Time as a kid, that's. There you go.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of, you know, references and allusions to things that have in the past lore and in the past games and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Like, Multiverses.
I would say Splatoon 3. Just because it's a lesser of all the evils.
I want to hit Multiverses on this one. I want to hit it just because they did the Smash thing, but they did it right from a technical standpoint with the rollback from technical standpoint with the actual characters and how they play. They didn't just make clones of what you've seen in Smash, but they all interact in a very interesting way, for especially for a 2v2. That's like the way to play it. That's the way they want it, is a tag, not tag, but a team based. It's 2v2. They do have, you know, free for all 4v, you know, 1v4 mode in there, but it's play 2v2.
I feel like it should be 3v3 for some reason. So it's like a weirder, worse MVC or something.
But I mean, yeah, the animations and the care that they took with a lot of these characters, just seeing how they animate. I remember watching, I was like, man, they really did their thing in this thing. You know, they really.
I still can't believe. Okay. Yeah. You can pick multiverses just because that's Super Saiyan Shaggy in it.
It's Super Saiyan Shaggy eating his sandwiches.
Oh, man. I'm going to Google that right now. Super Saiyan Shaggy.
Apparently, which was just like a meme, and they just ran with it.
They put it in. Yeah.
They put it in. And people were like, what the heck? Velma doing her stuff too is, there's a lot of fun things in there. I still don't think they have like that it character, you know, like how Smash Bros. Always has like, oh snap, I can play Sephiroth now, I can play Cloud, I can play Bayonetta, I can play like that, like core character thing. You're like, I want to be that character. I don't think they have that yet, but you know, the way that they've been adding characters, you know, I think they'll get there. Season 2 just started too, so best sports and racing game.
Yeah.
We'll just look. Okay. Ollie, wait. We just need to look at this category. F1 22, FIFA 23, NBA 2K23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie World.
Yeah, Ollie World's a pretty weird one. I picked Gran Turismo 7 personally, but like, because I actually don't give a shit about sports games.
This is one of those.
But
I want to pick 2K23 because my friend works on it. Okay. Shout out to you.
Show your support.
Show the support. This is the last FIFA game too.
I don't give a shit about sports games, honestly.
It's the last, you know, Winning 11 is just gone. Konami.
I'm glad. You know, they still make those games, by the way.
They still make them. What is this, like in the the pachinko version?
No, they still make Winning 11. It's called eFootball, I believe now. Yeah, it's called eFootball.
That's a worst name.
Like, did you not go to Konami's booth at TGS this year?
No, I did not.
Big chunk of it, yeah.
I did not. This is another genre that we don't really mess around with. Best strategy or sim game. Dune, Spice Wars, which the game's out. Mario, Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Total War, Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, which I've seen a lot of people playing. It's just manage a college campus. And then Victoria 3. Never heard of that one.
I haven't played any of these. I can't really say it. So
go with two. You want Mario or you want college with weird faces?
Yeah, go put Two Point Campus.
Hit that Two Point Campus.
I haven't played these games, man. I can't, yeah.
This is from Sega. Actually, two of these games are from Sega. Warhammer and Two Point Campus.
Yeah, good job, Sega, honestly, yeah.
Sega trying to win in every other category that they can possibly find. You don't remember, like, oh, that's Sega. Best family game, a.k.a. I think every year this is just the Nintendo category, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's like three Nintendo games.
It's the Nintendo category. So we got Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, Mario, Rabbids, Spark of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 of those are, well, I know. Well,
3.
But the 3 technically are Nintendo. Yeah. But Mario was in that 4th one, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it's kind of 4, but yeah.
It's kind of my heart wants to go Kirby on this.
I picked Nintendo Switch Sports because I was thinking, like, if I had kids, like, what would be a game that I would actually want to play with them? Because if I'm thinking like Splatoon 3 or whatever, probably what would happen is I would just like sit on the couch with my kid, and my kid would be playing, which is that's still family time.
Right, right.
But I'm not like playing with them, kind of thing. I'm not sure how Kirby works. Kirby might have like a more friendly co-op kind of mode, but I was thinking like, what's a game that I actually be playing with my kid or not against my kid or anything like that? So I picked with like Switch Sports because I could do like table, like tennis with them. You know what I mean? Or
that makes the most sense. I mean, it says appropriate for family play. irrespective of genre or platform. But yeah, family play. That's the only game on this list that, I mean, yeah, you can play Splatoon 3 with your kids or something, but more than likely they're going to be playing with their friends.
But I was thinking, like, yeah, if I had kids and we were playing Splatoon 3, like, would like, how would that even work? Would I just be, yeah, we're sitting on a couch with them? I don't know. I don't think I'd be playing against my kid.
Right, right.
3. Can you even do that? Like split screen? Can you?
I don't know.
Actually.
Well, maybe like if you set up a game, but I mean, it doesn't. Just doesn't feel like, you know, that thing. But yeah, you know, Nintendo Sports or Switch Sports came out, and it also did really well. Honestly, like built upon Wii Sports. And then, you know, not only just adding more things, but it added online multiplayer too. And it just, you know, I heard a lot of people talking about it and enjoying it too. So, you know, that's kudos to them. Best fighting game, this category.
Do you want to talk about the fucking
yeah. What happened here? I just want to know. So we got DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, and then King of Fighters 15, Multiversus, Sifu.
Sifu is the weird one, isn't it?
Sifu is a third-person character action game.
Action game, yeah.
There is no... I can fight against another person at all in this.
So
Two people cannot play this game and fight each other.
I had this discussion on my stream. We were talking about this on my stream, but the question was, what constitutes a fighting game? What are the rules that a game has to abide by to be considered a fighting game? And I think, is it like, do you need to have a stage boundary that you're trapped inside, kind of like a stage, basically, right? Do you need health bars? Do you need a timer? Like, what is the rules to be a fighting game? And I think it's has to be some kind of like stage boundary, and it has to be all the not contestants, like all the players have to be on somehow equal footing. Like, they need to be equal in power.
Yeah, I mean, I could even say, you know, like, I mean, we can take Arena Fighters, Jump Force, Naruto, any of those games, you know, the CyberConnect stuff. Those are fighters. It's a 1v1, 2v2, 3v3. It doesn't matter, but it's something versus something. You know what I mean? But that
somehow of equal fighting power, right?
Yeah.
Because it could never be a question of, like, will you come out on top? Like, it will be a question of, like... Because everyone has to be equal. Like, it can't be that. It can't be like a guaranteed, like, I'm probably going to win kind of feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why did Sifu get dominated? It's because you
I don't know.
Fight? Because you fight with your fists?
Because you fight with your fists? I actually don't know. Because, like, by that logic, any Souls-like should be on this list. Devil May Cry should be on this list.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, and that opens a total different can of worms. Like,
I think maybe they wanted 5 things in this category, and there weren't enough fighting game releases that they...
Fuck.
Didn't Under Night and Birth, didn't that come out this year? Or was that December last year?
Under Night, dude? No, dude, that's like 2020, man.
Wait, no, not Under Night. What the heck was that? The Fate one. The Fate one.
No, the one by the company that makes Fate.
Yeah. We're just like, what was?
No, I just type in Melty.
Melty Blood. Yeah, it was Melty Blood.
Is it Melty Blood?
Is it Melty? Yeah, Melty Blood type Lumina. I thought
that was 2021.
That
was last year.
The game was 2021. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's last year. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But I don't think it was in that category.
Melty Blood is a fighting game, though. Melty Blood is an actual fighting game, though.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, why they felt the need to put a third person character action game in there. Like, the devs themselves, and this is no, like, but I mean, like, the devs themselves would not classify their game as a fighting game.
It's an action game.
Like, it's, I don't know. This is maybe something that they just did to fill the category.
I'm just the JoJo's on here. They could have put fucking WWE. That'd be way better. Just put WWE in there, man.
WWE works too. I mean, like, fighting against someone else.
Came out this year. Phantom Breaker's an actual fighting game. Fuck that noise. Yeah, put a Phantom Breaker in there. If you're gonna put King of Fighters 15, you have to put Phantom Breaker in there, man.
I'm just like, it was just weird. It was weird, but I don't know. DNF Duel, pretty cool gameplay, went under the radar. Well, it didn't go under the radar, but it did the whole, I came out, you know what? Had some stuff in there, and it was gone.
I think it's because DNF isn't that big of like a well-known franchise. Everyone knows Arxis, well, probably, for Guilty Gear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like DNF is like, well, what the fuck is DNF? You know what I mean?
They, so. I mean, it's just, it's getting a patch, but yeah, that game kind of just, it didn't die horribly. It's a great, fundamental, fun fighting game. King of Fighters.
Anyways, my pick is DNF.
you're doing DNF. I think King of Fighters kind of deserves this after coming back from King of Fighters 14 and that whole journey.
You can pick King of Fighters too. I just want, like, I think Arxis makes really good fighting games. That's all. But King of Fighters is.
Well, that one's technically Aiding actually made that one. So your MVC3 homies. Made that. I don't know what.
Oh, Arxis just published it. They didn't.
Arxis published and maybe did some other stuff with it, but it's Aiding who did the actual, like,
game.
The game. Yeah.
Well, SNK is SNK. SNK does good stuff. So usually it does good stuff. Not always.
I have a feeling that they might try to give it to Multiverses, but Multiverses does some things that these other games did not do, which is free to play.
You know what? I hope they give it to Sifu just to watch.
Oh my
the world
goodness.
Burn.
That would be just. No, look what it says for head to head combat. Is that. I mean, I guess technically.
No, Sifu, that's head to head to head to head to head to head to head.
It's head to head to head to head to head to head. Oh man. Moving on. We've got. I think it might go to Multiverses just because they're free to play. It did a lot of great things. And everything, but anyways, role playing. This category was probably not filled up enough. There were too many releases in this category. Between
they should put Sifu in role playing because you're role playing a dude that fights people.
We have a what is this? We've got Elden Ring. We got
Live Alive.
I was gonna say Live Alive. I was gonna mess it up. I knew it. Live Alive. Pokemon Legends Arceus. Triangle Strategy. Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad Xenoblade got nominated. Good job, Xenoblade. Good job, Live Alive, actually. Live Alive is bonkers, by the way, the fact they got nominated.
Here's the thing. Do the people on this panel actually sometimes know what they're nominating?
Do people even know what Live Alive is?
That's the thing. Like, surely there was a Western RPG out there that someone would have thought of that had something similar to some stats going on. Because all these are very JRPG, and then we get...
Well, what Western RPG would you have nominated?
Then we get Elden Ring, which technically does have stats. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, there's like four, like, very kind of, I don't want to say traditional, but, you know, when you think of a JRPG, you get
three of them. Yeah.
At least three of them, for sure. And then we've got Elden Ring, which is, I mean, yes, it is a role playing game. I never think of it as, but for rich player character customization and progression. Including massively multiplayer experiences.
Fucking put 14 on there then. Cowards.
Every year.
Every single year.
You know, Arceus is, this is between Arceus it's hard. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, I've heard nothing but good things about that one. I know Arceus did wonders for Pokemon in terms of if you play Pokemon, if you haven't, taking it and kind of putting it in a semi-open world environment. And changing the formula up radically. And then, of course, Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, yeah.
I don't know how any of these games can beat that just beyond its name.
Yeah, Elden Ring being in there is...
It's messing it up. It's really messing it up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, because the category is best role-playing game, not best JRPG, right? So.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to vote, I have to say Elden Ring. I've never played Elden Ring personally, but I think looking at what it's up against, also what Elden Ring has done, also the kind of game that it is, I'm pretty sure Elden Ring is probably the safest bet. But
all the Xenoblade fans out there, the game was on point, man.
It's a good game. I mean, they're all good games. They're all great games. I mean, I'm so glad that Xenoblade 3 is nominated, you know. It's a good job, Monolith Soft, and... It's a good game, I think, for the Switch. Triangle Strategy is interesting. I think it's a good game.
Just kind of came out. It's part of the Square.
It's a good game. I don't know if it's a super good game, but hey, it has an awesome art style. So two of these games have the same art style, by the way, which is that Square Enix 2D HD art style. Triangle Strategy and Live Alive. So that's super cool. Live Alive, I didn't play. I don't know anyone who played Live Alive, so
I remember some streamers, like some VTubers, streaming it, but
Callie was streaming it.
Yeah, Callie was streaming it.
Was streaming Live Alive. Yeah,
someone else was streaming it. But yeah, it was just it's in the horrible. I'm sorry, but Square. We could have had Harvestella on this list. We could have had Star Ocean on this list. We could have had...
I don't think Star Ocean would have made the list, to be honest, man.
But... Wait. So here's my question. Why isn't Strangers of Paradise
good question, actually,
on this
yeah.
list? I mean, it's the closest to an Elden Ring, too. Maybe it's an action category. I don't know. I haven't seen the stuff yet. So
okay. Oh my God. We're splitting hairs here now, though. Because, like, if Stranger Paradise is an action game, why isn't Elden Ring an action game?
That's what I'm saying. When I think Elden Ring, I don't immediately think deep character customization. Though that is one of the things. By that alone, yes. But when you have it mashed up against these four games that all have HP bars and stats and moves and typically similar combat, like, I don't know. It hits me like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fighting game problem too. Like, what constitutes a role-playing game? What does your game have to be a role-playing game?
I think it's stats.
Like I said, why isn't Sifu in here? Because you're role-playing a guy who's fighting people.
That's the case. We're putting GTA on here as well when it comes out.
Exactly, yeah.
Character customization. I put on new clothes. Those clothes gave me some stat increases. That's it. But honestly, my heart wants to give it to Arceus, or Xenoblade. Arceus or Xenoblade, but... Jeez, I don't know. What do you think's gonna win?
I think Elden Ring's gonna win. I think Elden Ring will win. Is my question. Yes, what's not my question? That's what I think. But as for what I want to vote, I mean, I didn't play Elden Ring, but I think it's a good game.
It's a good game. It's an awesome game.
Yeah.
Game
you played it, right? You beat it.
I beat it. Yeah.
But you've only played Elden Ring out of this list.
Out of
right?
this list, I've only played Elden Ring, and
I've
seen
only
Xenoblade
played Pokemon out of this
Pokemon.
Whole list. Yeah. That's so fun. That's so funny.
It's crazy. There's someone out there who's played them all. You know, someone out there.
My girlfriend played Triangle Strategy. Like, she 100% Triangle Strategy.
Did she enjoy it more than, like, Octopath? I know it's like, more, I guess, heavy on...
I think she enjoyed Triangle Strategy more than Octopath, I would say. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But she also played Pokemon. I think she probably enjoyed it more than Pokemon, to be honest.
Okay. Next up is Best Action and Adventure. What the hoo-has?
Sifu.
For the Best Action and Adventure game, combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving.
And Sifu's
not
here.
Sifu is not. We got a Plague Tale, Requiem, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray and Tunic. This is the four out of five of these games are Sony. Three of them are Sony.
We're just shitting on Sifu at this point. Actually, I brought this up previously. My point is, like, I'm surprised. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm surprised God of War Ragnarok got nominated because that game just came out. I'm not saying it's a bad game by any means, but
in the same way, Plague Tale: Requiem only came out on the 28th of October too. God of War is November something.
Last week or something, like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. I mean, I guess the requirement is that they had to have at least a month in between, and maybe it just makes that. Because it was technically on December. It was November 7th or 8th, 7th, I think.
But the nominees are decided by like a panel, right?
Yeah.
So the panel, like, everyone was just like, yeah, God of War, I beat it already. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess regardless of them. Well, no, that they should have. Yes, they probably would have. I mean, I assume that they might have an early copy or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying like the game's bad, but like, surely you got to let the game sit a little bit. No, you can't just like.
I don't know. I mean.
I've
only played Stray, and I'm playing Plague Tale: Requiem right now.
I've only played Stray out of this, so yeah.
I don't really know what would win this. I love Plague Tale. I love the characters. I love that game. Like, I love that series. So I'm biased as heck. Yeah, I would
vote for it.
Love to. Yeah, what is the, like, what the heck? If we go by combat, God of War.
For sure.
If we go by puzzle solving, it's Plague Tale.
Right. If we go by traversal, Stray.
Yeah, because Horizon still had the climbing messed up a little bit. So, but Horizon, you can do the little riding. You can, you know, take over. I almost, like, I don't know what year Horizon is ever going to win. Every year, just coming out in the worst possible timing, between Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring. Horizon, one day you'll get something. Jeez.
Breath of the Wild? Wait, what?
Yeah, the first Horizon came out with Breath of the Wild.
Oh, did it?
That's, yeah. And they were...
When did, like, the second... This one came out close to some other game, too. What was
this
it?
This one came out about a month or less ahead of Elden Ring.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And right. That was done. It was done. I feel like God of War probably gets this. I
and for combat, sure. Yeah, for combat.
For combat, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think out of this list, probably slays.
I think for puzzle solving, so I haven't played God of War or anything, but from what I've heard, the puzzle solving isn't, like, the best. Like, even if I heard, like, even if you, like, wait, like, 10 seconds as you're just thinking through it, the NPCs will just tell you what the solution is.
They're like, please, move on through.
I've seen a lot of complaints on, like, the internet where, like, you, like, stop for a second and you already know what to do, but the NPCs will just tell you.
I actually saw, like, a streamer at the beginning of the game, like, can I turn this off? Like, can I tell the boy stop telling me what to do? Like,
So the puzzle solving experience, I would say, is probably not the best with God of War. It's probably kind of, you know, under combat in terms of priorities from that dev team, but.
Yeah, and Plague Tale is essentially just a puzzle. I mean, it's a stealth puzzle game. It's a stealth puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. Stealth puzzle action. So not so much combat.
But navigating stuff. So I don't know.
Sifu.
Sifu, like, this is the most murky category. When in doubt, stray it out.
Sure.
When in doubt, stray it out. The cat has to win something.
He'll win probably indie. I think Stray will win indie category or whatever.
Cat has to win something. Best indie, at least. We've got, what? Why is the next category best action game? What constitutes, so traversal constitutes.
What the fuck is this? Goddamn Game Awards. So, that's so, yeah.
Okay, so traversal is what constitutes action adventure. Like Uncharted, like an adventure is happening. But Bayonetta is not on an adventure. Just for the best game in the action genre, focused primarily on combat. I'm confused on this. All right, we got Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Neon White.
Neon White is a weird one. Yeah, Neon White's a weird one.
Okay,
yeah.
Sifu and Teenage Mutant, TMNT again, Shredder's Revenge.
Bayonetta.
This can only be their... Bayonetta or Sifu in my
Bayonetta
book.
Or unless you want to pick Call of Duty, because shooting guns counts as combat.
Man, you gotta put this, we gotta give it to I don't know what Neon White gets in this award show, but it has some very passionate fans. And it's a very good game. But Bayonetta, that's Bayonetta 3. I think I've watched a little bit of it, and the stuff I saw was just insane, bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
It's funny. A Call of Duty being in the action game category is pretty fucking weird.
I mean, it's like an action movie.
Yeah. I guess shooting guns is combat. Yeah. I mean,
is combat. Best VR, AR. This might be a skip right here. After the fall.
Because I don't know what any of these are. Yeah.
Among Us VR.
I'm like, the stream that I'm watching is a little bit behind.
Oh, okay.
Bone Lab. I'm going to say Bone Lab.
Bone Lab? We got Moss Bone Book Lab. 2 and Red Matter 2.
So I haven't played Bone Lab, but Bone Lab is, like, insane for just being so, what's the word, open in terms of what you can do. Like, you can just fucking do things. You can do things in that game. Just really quickly go to, I don't know, YouTube, or go to Steam, like the Steam store, type in Bone Lab, and, like, just watch, like, 20 seconds of Bone Lab.
What the heck?
And you're like, oh, wow, that's fucking insane. That's wild.
I know After the Fall, I believe, is actually on, like, just normal PC, too. I watched a little bit of that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Moss 1 got a lot of attention, but I didn't hear so much about Moss 2. So I'm just going to take your word on this one and go for Bone Lab. And after the stream, look up what on earth the Bone Lab.
You should, yeah. Go to YouTube and watch some crazy, crazy clips because people have recorded them just absolutely fucking around in Bone Lab, like falling from the sky and like punching people in the nuts.
Do we want to skip innovation and accessibility?
Or well, I mean, haven't played these games. Yeah, I haven't played these games, so it's tough for me to say. I have heard Last of Us did a pretty good job of accessibility, but...
What do we have in here? Recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. Yeah, Last of Us Part 1 on there, The Quarry, Return to Monkey Island, God of War Ragnarok, and As Dusk Falls.
The problem is, again, like I said, I haven't played these games, so it's very difficult for me to, very difficult for me to make a judgment call. So I'm just going by hearsay at this point, right?
Yeah, and I've only heard stuff about God of War and The Last of Us. I played The Quarry, and I looked in the options. There's a ton of options in there, but, you know, I didn't look through a lot of the accessibility ones, but... Yeah, we'll make another Last of Us year. We'll make it another Last of Us year. So everyone can say, oh my gosh, can that game just go away? Really? Again? But it's good. It's a good thing because, you know, a lot of people, you know, we all play games and we all interact with them differently. And being able to just be like, hey, you know, I have this disability, but it won't inhibit, like, people are making a game that I can still play it and still enjoy it. That's a blessing. That's an awesome thing. So I'm glad we're at that point where that's what we're doing with games. Best community support. So recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates/patches. Apex. This is the same as last year. Apex. Destiny 2.
Yeah, I do remember FF14, Apex, Destiny 2 and FF14.
Fortnite,
yeah, I remember.
No Man's Sky.
It is the same as last year, isn't it?
This is like the same list as last year. Last year we gave it to FF14.
This year we give it to FF14. I don't know, man.
No, honestly, you know what? You know what? Okay, Fall Guys, you don't hear a lot from their community support, but their social media is out there. Their social media is out there doing stuff. I just don't know why they're not on this list. I feel like they're, you know, they could be on here, but I don't think they tackle a lot of the same issues in terms of like, oh, you know, balance updates, the patches, that sort of thing. And kind of having to kind of do a dance with the community. I think Fall Guys people just kind of enjoy playing it regardless of what condition it's in.
My experience with these games are only limited to 14 and Apex Legends. FF14, every couple months they do a live stream. It's like a dev live stream. So director of the video game and a couple other devs will do basically a stream, and they're like, hey, here's what's coming up in 14. Here's the next content patch. Here's what we're changing. It's kind of the presentation. And they have a fan festival where fans can, you know, gather, and then it's the whole thing. So 14, I think, is very strong when it comes to community support, just because of those live streams and the fan festival.
Right.
Apex Legends, which I also, you know, play a lot of, as far as I know, as far as I'm aware, a lot of Apex Legends, the way they do community outreach is just through Reddit.
They have a lot of Reddit.
Threads, so they'll like make a thread, and it's like, here are the patch notes, let us know if you have any problems.
Is it crazy?
I can't play. But
I was gonna say, is it crazy that they used to do dev like diaries, like
Apex
season? Yeah, season 1 and 2 or 3, right around there, though. They were kind of like introducing the team, but they would also introduce like, oh, this is what we're changing on rank for this season. This is the new map. They don't do it anymore, but they used to do it a little bit. But it wasn't like the longest.
They do that. I feel like they do that on Reddit now. They do like little posts. Yeah.
I don't know much about for Destiny. I haven't kept up with Destiny since Destiny 1. I've actually kept up with Destiny 2 a little bit, but yeah, they don't do as much. I think when they have a content update, they'll deep dive into it. They'll put out videos, but their community is you know, a very active one, very passionate one, and they've managed it very well. But Fortnite just does Fortnite. I don't even know what...
Fortnite fucking does what Fortnite wants, man.
I don't even know what community management is in the game. It just is. Yeah. It just is. So, yeah, 14, just because I don't know much about No Man's Sky. 14, I think.
Yeah, same.
It's been solid.
Same,
yeah. Honestly, like, these three games have had a lot of ups and downs. But I think 14 has had the most solid run throughout, you know, ever since it's kind of been rebranded and kind of been on the rise. Mm-hmm. I think they've had a good solid relationship with their community.
I think I might be mistaken, but I've heard that FF14 is the one thing from Square that's pulling in the most revenue.
It is. No, it is. It is.
Like across all their games, yeah.
It is. It is.
That's so funny, man.
Even though their profits were down this quarter or this year, I think.
Square, like 14 was up, right?
But 14 is still doing wonders.
I know. All those games. Good job, Yoshi P. Do you think the success of 14 is what led Square to be like, okay, you can do a mainline game now?
I think it depends if he wanted to or not, right? If he didn't want to, then
he would be like, no, I want to focus on 14.
Yeah. But if that's something he wanted to do, I think, yeah, he definitely had the cred to where he'd say, like, yeah, I want to do one of these things.
He's like, I'm saving this company. Yeah.
Who do they have? Like, it's crazy when we think about this, because it's one of those things where I was looking at someone play the Atari collection that just came out, you know, and it's a really cool, like, a historical anthology of not only the games that they made, but the people who created them. And you're like, you know, half the people, so many people who play games don't know any of these people who make them, especially like the, you know, these larger names. And it's crazy because when you think about it, like, who does Square have? Like, if, okay, so Yoshi does this one, who's doing the next Final Fantasy? What Joe Smo is it? Who is it? Like, and the thing is it might be someone who's worked on previous ones, but you know, the seven guys, those were all the seven team. And then we have like a couple new blood in there, but like for FF17, like what does that even look like? Who is that?
I don't know. I'll be like dead when 17 comes out, but like, yeah, I don't know if they'll pull in new blood. I mean, they might. I think Square is smart. They'll probably pull in new blood for 17. I don't know if they'll ask Yoshi P to come back for 17, or they'll ask who is the guy who did 15? I think he left, didn't he? He left. Yeah, he left Square, didn't he?
And went to Capcom or something? I don't know. I don't know where that way it went to. Like, I don't know, man.
I think
because that was mainly Fantasy. I mean, Nomura basically did like that was his thing, and then he got off for Kingdom Hearts, and then they put the other guy in there.
So Tabata did 15.
Tabata's on 7 remake.
He didn't leave? I thought he left.
He should be on 7 remake. Yeah.
Tabata resigned from Luminous Productions and Square Enix on October 31st, 2018. Yeah, man, he left. He is. He founded a studio called JP Games.
Oh. Japan Games. Or just JP Games.
In June 2021, the company announced the Pegasus Dream Tour, a game themed around the 2020 Summer Paralympics. So he's not at Square anymore.
He's in peace.
He's just doing whatever he wants, man. Yeah.
But yeah, for best mobile game, anything that's played on a mobile device, this could literally have been. Why isn't the Switch a mobile device?
Because you can dock it, man. It's a home console.
Okay. Switch is like, man, we could be on here too. Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap, and Tower of Fantasy. I gotta go with Marvel Snap because I've been playing a crap ton of Snap.
Three to five minute games,
free to play. Very simple, very fun. If you like Marvel, if you like card games, easy to do. I think Tower of Fantasy kind of fell
after two days.
It didn't take long for people to be like, oh, this is the next Genshin. This is not the next Genshin. Diablo Immortal. Yeah.
No, just let's not talk about it. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. You already
Marvel
know.
Marvel Snap, but okay. Yeah.
You already know. Best indie game. Okay. Best indie. Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, or Tunic?
Stray.
We have to go for the cat. Cult of the Lamb, though, got to give shout outs to that game. A lot of fun. I ordered the plushie. which I can't wait for that little plush to come. It's actually a big plush. Very memorable game on stream for me. And I don't know who they're going to choose, but Stray seems like the one. Tunic, I heard a lot of good stuff about Tunic, though. It's a very well-done Zelda-like, you know, game. So, lots of good stuff about that game. Best ongoing game, I don't know what that's supposed to be.
That is like a service game, basically.
an award or two a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player's experience over time. Apex, Destiny 2, FF14, Fortnite. They swapped out No Man's Sky for Genshin Impact.
But it's the same category. Say the outstanding development. Okay, it's probably 14 or God forbid Fortnite. I don't like Fortnite personally, but man, they fucking make shit constantly.
The metaverse is real, man. If I want to live in one of these games, put me Fortnite. In Fortnite.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to do a dance as Master Chief next to Ariana Grande.
Oh my goodness.
Rick and Morty roll by. Yeah.
We're voting for Fortnite on that one. I mean, you know what? This year, Fortnite got me to play it more than I played it last year with the inclusion of Goku.
Yeah, so I played Fortnite too. Someone was like, I will buy you the Goku skin if you play Fortnite with me. And I was like, okay, whatever, man, sure.
I mean, I think that's just, I think that's an amazing power, like to get people who normally wouldn't play it or who played it a little bit to come back and to just be like, I actually spent money. I spent money
it's
to
so,
get that.
That game is so dumb, man. Cause like, I just remember like, oh yeah, I'll play whatever, sure. And then like what I was describing, it just seemed so ridiculous. Like we were in a car and I'm Goku dancing on the hood and we hit Master Chief and then we got out of the car and then I killed Kakashi. And then we climbed the hill and Chun-Li killed us. I'm not making that up, man. That happened in the video game. That's how it is.
Like, but that is the true metaverse experience.
That's
like,
Fortnite.
That's
yeah,
Ready
it's
Player
Fortnite
One
experience, yeah.
Right there. Games for impact for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. I think the key word is pro. Nordic.
Antisocial.
Because Nordic has a thought-provoking message, but it tackles like slavery and Deep South.
Okay. Well, I mean, so, I can't vote on any of these. I haven't played
I can't
any
either.
Of them, so.
A Memoir Blue, As Dust Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, Extinction is Forever. Oh, wow. That, ooh. Hindsight, I Was a Teenage Exocologist.
Exocologist?
The G kind of was, you know, put a G. I don't know.
Yeah. I have to pass on this one. I just truly cannot.
I would have to pass. I've heard some stuff about I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. And then As Dust Falls. I did watch some As Dust Falls streams and I actually kind of want to stream that game because chat is integrated into there. They are actually making the choices and I thought that was really cool. And it's just, you know, all these games are very, very similar and they're kind of like, you know, thought-provoking messages. I don't know. That's one of those categories I wish I could say more on. Best performance. So by a voice actor, actress. We've got Ashley Burch for Horizon Forbidden West. That's going to be, I think all these are pretty much just the main characters. Plague Tale Requiem. So Amicia. Then we've got, I'm blanking on, who's the girl from Horizon now? I'm blanking on her name.
Starts with an A, maybe.
You know, we'll get her name, chat. We'll get her name. We've got Christopher Judge, as you know, Kratos in God of War Ragnarok. Yeah. We've got Manon Gage for Immorality, which is a game I kind of want to play. I've heard really good things about that, and also Sunny. I don't want to butcher someone's name. Soljic from God of War Ragnarok, which would be Atreus. And why can I not think of Horizon? Aloy. Yeah, there we go.
Start typing it. Yeah, called it.
There we go. You got it. So we've got Aloy, Amicia, Kratos. I don't know that. I think she's an actress in Immorality. You're piecing together kind of a mystery of what happened to her throughout her career. And then Atreus. They all do a wonderful job delivering lines. From the games of the past, I've heard them. And of course, I want to give it to a Plague Tale, but what do you want to give it to?
Well, I haven't played any of these games is the problem. So I don't know what they sound like.
This is the craziest thing. When it comes to voting for games, right? I feel like when it comes to movies, I've watched more movies than I've played games of.
Mm.
And if it comes around to like an Oscars, right? Is it Oscars? The Oscars? Like they put up the list, right? I feel like I could just go and just watch all of them, be informed, and then make my votes. But there's no way I can play God of War, a 60-hour game, Horizon, another 60-hour game, a 20-hour game of Plague Tale, and then, you know, maybe 10 hours or so of Immorality. That's just not possible for me to do.
Yeah, it's tough for me. Like, I haven't played any of these games, so if you're asking what the best performance was, I truly don't know. I haven't seen a minute of these guys' performances, so... I know these characters. I know the characters they play. I know what they look like. I maybe know what they sound like, but I don't know how they perform those characters. Yeah.
I'm going to go with just who I know, because I'm playing Plague Tale: Requiem right now, and Amise, Charlotte, she's done an amazing job of taking that character to another level and building off the experiences that they had in the previous game. And I mean, geez, we've had some moments where me and the chat just been like, my goodness, Girl of War. She's making Kratos seem like he's tame now, the way she's going in.
Best... a kid now, so you gotta chill out when you have a kid, yeah.
You have to chill out. Okay, best audio. We've got Call of Duty, Elden Ring, God of War, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West. I feel like Call of Duty should get best audio design.
How did you play Call of Duty?
I just feel like
surely the guns sound good.
I feel like they have to have good location or footsteps, gun sounds, that stuff. Like, or Gran Turismo.
Yeah. Gran Turismo, maybe. I don't know. You played Elden Ring. You played with headphones, right? Because you were streaming it.
I did, but nothing about it stood out as like it. It has a great soundtrack.
Sure, but that doesn't.
Audio design. So right. I could not give this to Elden Ring.
No,
they're still probably using sounds from Dark Souls 3 or 2 or something like that for some effects.
So I've never played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the one that came out in 2008 or 9 or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I want to say play a modern Call of Duty game, and you've kind of played all of them.
You're not half wrong.
They sound fine. They sound very fine. Yeah, you can hear footsteps. So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Gran Turismo seems like they should have a lot more attention to detail.
But this is
like
something I'm sure those.
Like, what the heck? But I will say
those cars sound good. Yeah.
I will say, for anyone who has ever who's never experienced good audio design in a game, when you experience it, you will know it. Because
it also helps to have good headphones. So
good headphones, or I mean, when I first played Dead Space, I'll never forget it, because I walked out of that game going, "Holy crap!" I remember the sounds of each of the weapons, how they sounded when they hit the flesh of the, and like everything was just. That was the first time I realized, like, oh, sound design is a thing in games, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played Call of Duty, so I mean, as I have this experience with Apex Legends, because Apex Legends, where if you hear a gunfight in the distance,
you know what gun is being shot.
Yeah, you know what gun those people have. Also, each character has their own unique footsteps. So, like, my character does not sound like someone else's character. There's a little bit different footsteps, right?
Right.
So, like, the sound design will help you play the game better if you have played enough of that video game.
Exactly.
So, Call of Duty is the same way, too. Like, maybe all the guns are unique sounding enough that when you hear a gunfight, oh, that guy has that kind of gun. So, I don't know. Like, I haven't played it. So.
Yeah, that's very true. We'll just Call of Duty, here you go. Toss you a bone. It's a pity vote. I think we're at the point now where Call of Duty, it does what it does, and it's there, but I mean... best score in music.
Xenoblade, baby.
Xenoblade, you just want to throw it up for the Xenoblade? We got.
Yeah. Freaking
Metal. Freaking Metal Hellsinger has a killer soundtrack.
Yeah, but my boy, Yasunori Mitsuda, man.
Oh, man. We got to give it to the Chrono Trigger. Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't know he did the soundtrack for that. That, honestly, I've been very impressed by the sound in A Plague Tale: Requiem. Elden Ring has a stupidly good soundtrack. I think those two kind of are very similar to each other, sound wise.
In terms of like the thematic, sound, okay.
Yeah, thematically, they're similar.
Xenoblade's
probably the most different out of all three of these. God of War has its own.
I'm definitely, for sure, man. Yeah,
it has its own thing. Metal Hellsinger lives and dies on its soundtrack. That's it.
That's true.
It's the beat. It's everything, and they managed to get a lot of metal singers and like front singers for a lot of popular bands, and just they did it. Like, I walked away from playing the demo of that game, like playing it four times, like, gosh, this is good.
That's so cool.
Xenoblade. But we'll give it to Xenoblade. this was for outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song and or licensed soundtrack. So
original song, singular?
Original song. Which I think they had to do something for Metal Hellsinger, because all of those songs in there were just made specifically for the game.
Okay.
So these are all just like original song. It's basically a soundtrack, but
you should. I mean, speaking of Yasumi Mitsuri, you should play Chrono Trigger.
It's crazy, man. I have that OST and I've listened to it for like thousands of times, like hundreds of times. Okay, not hundreds, now, but
yeah,
a
play
lot
the game
times.
Now and put the.
I do have. You know, I did buy it though. I did buy it
on Steam, right?
I did. I do actually have it finally.
It's only a 20-hour game, man. You can just power through it in like 2 weeks. If you're going to be streaming it. If you're going to play it on the weekend, man, you can beat that in like one and a half weekends.
Best art direction for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West. I love how Horizon is on here for so many things, but probably unfortunately went on the radar. Scorn and Stray. This is the only category I did see before this. I have to give it to Scorn.
Oh yeah, I didn't play Scorn, so
that game is nothing but its art style. It's nothing but just H.R. Geiger stuff. It's go look at some Scorn, man. It's crazy. That's the only thing they did.
I only played Stray, so
I think we're almost there though. Best narrative.
Yeah, we're almost done. Yeah.
How many of these games have we seen at the same time? Okay, Plague Tale, Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon, Immorality. I've only played one on this list. And it's crazy. Well, I played two on this list.
I've only played zero, dude, so.
But they're all good. They're all good.
I
can't say Elden Ring on this because for outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. Anyone who's played that game cannot tell you what happened at the end of the game.
Okay.
They can tell you phrases or like things that happen, like boss fights or something, but you walk through a bunch of that game not knowing why you're fighting people.
Sure. Yeah.
It's kind of like I had to do a lot of research at the end.
Do you hate that feeling, by the way, when you finish a game and you're like, what the fuck happened? You have to like Google it. Like, do you hate doing that or?
In this case, I didn't. It's because it's part of the Souls. It's what they experience. Always do. Yeah, it's part of their experience. It's what they always do. But I feel like when you try to explain it to someone and you're like, oh yeah, dude, you should play this game, and you tell them why, and you know,
I don't think story's not up there, right? It's not for the story, right? It's for the experience.
But when they had R.R. Martin doing lore and everything for it, people know him for Game of Thrones, and when that's the name that's attached to it, you're thinking of epic story. And
yeah, he didn't write the story, right? He just made the world.
He just did the lore building
yeah, he didn't write it, but on
the cover or on the back,
well, because that sells, man.
Sells, and that's one of the reasons like this game broke out beyond, you know, just the casual, not casual, but just the normal Souls fans.
Also, people are like, oh, I can't like read Game of Thrones or whatever, Song of Fire and Ice. So I'll just play this one.
I don't know. Honestly, they're all great stories.
All right. Well, you got to pick because I can't.
I support Plague Tale from beginning to end.
All right.
I love how we're like, it doesn't even matter who's like actually going to win this. Our bingo card is going to be messed up. Our bingo card is going to be like best game direction. Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon, Immorality, Stray. That's the same category as before.
I really feel like a lot of these categories are just popularity contests, honestly, man.
At this point, it really is. Like at this point, this one I have to give the Elden Ring.
For game direction?
For game direction. Yeah.
Sure.
Creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. So if you feel like it had a strong creative vision and it innovated in whatever that means, then sure, Elden Ring. But did any of these games innovate? Is the question?
That's a good question. I don't. Immorality might be the one to it. Well, you know, it's like Her Story, right? It does that same kind of detective thing, where you don't know what's happened. It's just a better, well-told story, maybe with some more mechanics in there. None of these games, I can't say Elden Ring innovates because it's 10 years of FromSoft games game.
It built up. I mean, I would say it's probably better than Dark Souls.
You can jump.
You can jump. There you go. That's your innovation.
You can jump now.
Like, oh, shit. There we go.
But what they did, and I guess I have to give it to them for this, is like that constant feeling of exploration and feeling like every other second you're finding something to do, whether you wanted to find it or not. There are way too many things in that game that you could go by and not ever have seen. And, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's like me in a lot of games. Like I finished Yakuza and it's like completion percentage 20. And I'm like, holy shit, what? Only?
What did I not do? Like where?
Oh my God. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're making it hard.
Just pick one, man. It doesn't matter. It's like life, my friend.
It's like
nothing
life.
Truly matters.
It's like
nothing
life.
Truly matters anyways. Yeah.
I feel like there's a song with that. Nothing really matters.
Oh, yeah. It's a Queen song.
Queen. There we go. And then Game of the Year, which...
Let's do it. Game of the Year.
Which was the exact same as we saw before. Plague Tale, Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon, Stray, but we added Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
I'm truly impressed, actually, that Xenoblade is nominated for Game of the Year.
I call that someone threw them a bone.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it. We need
also,
like a wild card. Yeah.
This cat has been in three other of these categories, in these top heavy hitting categories.
All right, here's a question. Regardless of what you pick, what do you think will win?
I think everyone is going between God of War and Elden Ring. Right. I have not been able to watch any God of War because I don't want to spoil myself. It looks from what I've heard, they improved on the first game. It's great. It's had high viewer counts on Twitch. Elden Ring has had higher. If you look at Elden Ring, it had 777,000 at one point. I mean, people viewing and watching it. As much as I want to say maybe God of War could pull something out and maybe kind of beat it, it feels Elden Ring was just a cultural experience. Community experience. This is the first time I played a game in a long time where after work, I'm like, I got to play it. While I'm working, I got to play it. While I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming it, you know, and just losing countless hours and time to... this one game.
Sure, I haven't had that Elden Ring.
That's Elden Ring. I haven't had that in a long time. Maybe since like Monster Hunter World.
I feel like that should just be Game of the Year then for you. Because I mean, I haven't played all these games, I know, but like, for a game to like grab you like that, then I'm sure like that would be Game of the Year then in that case. I mean, clearly it says recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. Creative, sure. Technical is debatable.
Very debatable yeah. On that one, yes. There is some... Literally, when I'm running across the snow and I see triangle shaders just loading, not loading, just triangles across the ground, I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Not using the graphics. That's
definitely debatable. But I mean, if you feel like that's... if the game has captured you like that, then sure, I think that could... be Game of the Year for you. Because I haven't played these games, minus Stray, like, I'd have to say, like, I would honestly pick Elden Ring also. Just because there was that time early in the year where everyone was playing it and talking about it, and it culturally, like, the internet kind of, like, became Elden Ring, you know what I mean?
Yep, it did.
And everyone was, like, talking about it, and there was memes about it, and then there was just everything about Elden Ring. I'm surprised Xenoblade is on there as well. I just don't think culturally Xenoblade then never hit quite the saturation as Elden Ring did, you know, because JRPGs have gotten quite popular in the last couple of years. I believe they've gotten better, more popular, but they're still relatively niche. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and this one was, unfortunately, you know, not only is it locked to Switch, but it's like a
sequel.
Third.
Yeah.
It's the third in if you ask them, they'll tell you, you don't actually need to have played one or two to actually kind of jump into three. You might miss some things, some little details.
You'll miss a couple of things. Yeah. But still,
but it is a story in and of itself. But when you see three, like, it's hard for people to hop into something like that.
I think if there was a JRPG game of the year, like some other game awards specifically for Japanese games, then Xenoblade may have a much stronger chance of being game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That if that were a show were real, it'd probably just be dominated by Square Enix games, but because of the amount of games they put out. Yeah.
Where's my Chocobo GP at?
Oh, yeah, it came out this year too, man. Yeah, fuck. And like, Romancing Saga comes out in like 2 weeks. Like, we're not done yet, man.
We're not done. Yeah. We still got FF7 Crisis Core.
Yeah, Crisis Core, yeah.
We still got Crisis Core remake.
Yeah. And then, it's the Romancing Saga. And then they're done, I think.
Yeah, no. Then in January we have Forspoken. But for this year, yes.
Yeah.
See, that's my plan.
Do you think they're going to slow down in 2023 or Square is like,
they have to. There's nothing else.
We make games, baby.
What other games are they like?
Well, I don't know. I was like, surely they're done. But this year they're like,
Wait, was the Yoko Taro game, was that earlier this year or was that last?
No, that was this year. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Voice of Cards, yeah. It came out this year, right? Like March, January? Or was it late last year?
Voice of Cards? I'm looking it up right now. 2022. That's the DLC. Sorry. What the fuck is? Wait. No. September? Wait, this can't be right.
I remember it came out. Not this September. What?
September 14, 2022. Yeah.
Okay.
Came out like it just flew under the radar, man.
Bro, Square, what you doing? What are you doing, Square? You're killing me.
No, yeah, so I thought Square, like, this year, this whole time, I'm like, they're done. And then they'd be like, Nintendo Direct announcing Harvestella out in 3 months. I'm like, are you insane?
You know what? Valkyria didn't even make this list. I don't know if it's an RPG. I'm sorry. It might be an action.
It's an action
game,
RPG. It's action, yeah. It's action.
They don't have
RPG.
That category yet.
Yeah, it's not as good as Sifu, but...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Elden Ring will take it. I don't have so any... I don't have we did a podcast on it and, you know, I think all of us were very unanimous and
I was off that week for some reason. I can't remember, but yeah.
I mean, honestly, like if any of these games, if you pick up and play them, I think you're going to have a wonderful time. And I think that's the cool thing that we could have this many games and they all be of really good quality, you know?
Yeah.
And whether you play, was this five games? 1, 2, 3, 6 games? Yeah, play one each year. You got 6 games of great games. 6 years of great games.
Yeah, I guess. And then by the time you finish, like...
You'll have 12 more, probably.
Yeah, we'll have to play through, yeah.
You have a bunch more to play through.
Oh, man. We skipped a bunch of categories, too.
We skipped the esports category. How did we do this, like, shorter last year? Did we ever do this shorter?
It was like a 2-hour podcast last year, yeah.
It was 2 hours again? Okay, it's 2 hours this time. Jeez. But we put our categories, our votes in for the categories we thought. I wanted to, you know, I guess next week we'll talk about Pokemon. Or do you have something you want to say about Pokemon? Like anything? Like Scarlet Violet?
I've been playing Pokemon the last couple of days. Not as much as my girlfriend. My girlfriend's been playing pretty much nonstop since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even want to save it for like another podcast. That's fine. But like I can say generally, like baseline, it's fun. It's mm-hmm. broken. It's technically broken. It's still a fun game though. That's the thing. Like, it's still a fun game. Yeah.
I've been watching streams of it. It's definitely got some jank.
It's janky as fuck. Janky. It's like, oh my gosh. It's so janky. It's so bad.
It's what we're seeing with a lot of these Nintendo games now where they're really having to stretch the hardware as much as possible. And
Pokemon's out of this world though. Like it shouldn't be this
it
bad.
Shouldn't be this
it's
bad
actually,
for
really it's oddly bad, but yeah,
those 2 frame per second walks and spins.
Yeah,
and
the walk cycles, did you see I've
been watching streams, like,
yeah, because
the music is bopping though. I think Toby Fox at the music,
But we've looked at some of the music, yeah.
Some of the music, but the music is bopping, man. I have it on at work just like listening to music. Yeah. This is good. And Sonic Frontiers, I got to say, if in a nutshell of that game, the exploration and open world segments for it made me feel like Elden Ring.
That's good. I'm glad though. Yeah. So I actually do want to play Sonic. I didn't pick it up right away, but yeah.
Yeah. The feeling of like the fact that they actually, it doesn't click as much in the first world. There are five little worlds in there, but the second world, the desert, and I'm still there. They're really big. The fact that all those rails they placed actually link to each other in certain ways, and you can just keep going. And you do, but the thing is you don't know where you're going to end up is one of the most amazingly fun feelings I've had. I've played this game just laughing so much because you get on a rail, you don't know where it's going to take you, but you just enjoy the trip and just running fast. The game fails in the story department, of course, and then the enemies just are just lackluster.
Like they're really easy or what?
They're really easy. They gave me 50. I'm playing it on hard. They gave me 15 skill points to start off with. I'm in the second world and I'm already about to get my last move.
Yeah.
And it feels like they should have gated those moves a little bit better because they're like powerful attacks. They're powerful attacks, but they're not on a meter. So you can just keep doing them over and over if you want to. You know?
Oh, really? That's
like
funny.
If you want to do like a flash kick and just keep doing it forever, you can. Like
you can flash kick forever. I'm kind of glad though. I mean, that game is good. I mean, or better than what we're expecting. I mean, Sonic is a weird one because like the question is Sonic Frontiers a legitimately decent game or is it only decent because everyone's expectations were so low?
It's for me, I can say it's a decent game. It's a decent game. You get to do like the thing where you told me about generations where you get the 2D or 3D worlds, those zones, those are in there and it's like, oh, they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of, you know, the challenge is there for a little bit. But it's a lot of fun. The music there is banging, man. That music is awesome.
Yeah, no, Sonic soundtracks are always good. Sonic soundtracks are always good.
It just sucks when you go into the open world and it's just like this down dreary. The first one sounds like Hollow Bastion. The second one sounds like Nier Automata Desert Track on loop.
Oh, okay. That's so... But hey, like the theme song is the 1OK Rock song, so 1 o'clock song.
Oh,
so yeah.
Oh yeah. When you get, oh, I ain't gonna spoil the battles for you, bro. This shit.
Oh, does this play during the battle? That's
there. I don't know if it was that song, but there was a rock song that was playing at the top of its volume. For whatever.
That's awesome.
Reason.
I'm excited. So yeah. It's been a good year for Sega. Next year will be a good year for Sega too. Lots of Yakuza games coming out. So.
Yeah. Isshin coming out in I think February.
Mm-hmm. Isshin, and then I believe maybe it's just Isshin, right? And then the other games are gonna be later. So the side story for 7 comes out next year, and then or next year rather at this point, and then 8 will be like a year after that or something.
It's a lot of good games coming out, and Hogwarts Legacy. Don't sleep on that game, chat. People don't.
Yeah,
sleep
I mean,
on
let me
game.
Know how it is. I'm not gonna get it, but like, sure, like. It looks wild, honestly, trailers. So, yeah.
It looks wild. So, yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And as always, you can follow myself on Twitch at Ninja Trickster, NINJTRX.
I keep forgetting you changed your name. So, I was like, oh, you typoed your own name, man. But, yeah, that's funny.
And you can find my co-host Root or Alex. Oh, goodness, Alex at Root24 yep. RUTE the numbers 24 on Twitch, streaming Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So catch us on.
Why are you streaming this Saturday though?
Oh no! Oh crap! Yeah, we might have some. No, I am. Okay, so I'll talk to you about it after the podcast. What we might be doing then.
all right, sounds good.
And then finally, just the last shout out, everyone. Unfortunately, you know, we had some huge losses this month with Kevin Conroy, voice of Batman, and also Jason David Frank.
Yes.
Three first names right there. The Green Power Ranger, green, white, black, and red.
He was like every color.
He was there. He passed away. Today or you know this month too, so I mean it's everyone just live, do the best you can, keep on inspiring people, and you know our hearts go out to those affected, and yeah, two people who were a part of my childhood for sure. I don't know about you, but
Yeah, I definitely, like a lot of kids our age, you know, grew up with Power Rangers too. So I was never like a fan. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mean to say I didn't like him or anything, but like I wasn't like a dedicated fan. But still, he was a obviously a member of, not a member, but he was a figure growing up, right?
Yeah, yep.
And it's weird. I think we are at this part of our life now where like a lot of the people we grew up with, a lot of people that we recognize as like celebrities and that kind of thing, when they go, it feels like weird, right?
Yeah, yeah. It feels like part of us is kind of going a little bit. It's crazy. Only 49, but we'll go out and be back again next week for episode number 150 of the Unknown Games Podcast. By the end of this year, we'll be almost at 200 episodes, or not this year, but next year.
That's pretty insane. Yeah.
That's insane. Long running cast right there. So we will catch you next week and have a great one. Remember, you set the tone. Go play some games. Go vote.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Peace.
Peace.